after the Second World War, things really moved fast. There was a huge expansion in the spread of American capital, and that was done across Europe and other countries of the world rapidly in the 50s and 60s, and tax havens were absolutely key there for companies like Procter & Gamble and IBM to grow and expand across the world. So in that period, the post-war period, you get large multinational corporations getting larger and bigger, and they're doing that by going through tax havens and retaining their profits, which allows them then to spend more and keep the money offshore.
And all perfectly legally, of course.
All perfectly legally. At the same time, what happened in the 1960s was that the dollar escaped outside of the United States and went offshore. That meant that other countries were able to access US dollars offshore. And really the big player was the City of London. And the City of London effectively became a large offshore centre of its own. In fact, you could argue, maybe, as provocatively, that the whole of the UK itself has become one large offshore finance centre, linked in to all the other sort of classic tax havens and offshore finance centres out there. I mean, why is that? I mean, look what happened in the early 80s with the liberalisation and deregulation of markets, is that finance became the big thing.
Why should people be concerned about that? It's a rather obscure subject, I suppose, for most voters when they're considering whom to vote for.
It's about justice. It's about tax justice. It's about paying the tax that is due from you to pay for the public goods that we'd like to take for granted in a civilized society. Quantifying it is very hard, and that's because of the fact of secrecy around the way that corporations account for their internal markets. So you do not know who owns things, how the money flows through the system, who it ends up in the hands of. It's all fragmented and all over the place, and that sort of utter complexity makes it impossible for revenues of the industrialized world to find out what's going on. But think about countries where things aren't so developed. They haven't got a cat's chance. Companies who are registered over here as headquarters, they get all the benefits of the political stability, the regulation. The courts over here are incredibly liberal in favour of corporations. So they're all come over here and register here and do their business here. But money's maybe not here, and the people who are running the companies maybe aren't here all the time. So they don't really know what it's like to be, living here onshore, living a kind of regular, ordinary kind of life, which is what the most of us do. And we're increasingly having to pay for that kind of avoidance. When you get a situation that's going on now where there is a financial collapse and we're having to bail out, the Exchequer's having to bail out banks and corporations, the risk accrues back onto us, then the losses are socialised onshore. Hmm. And we're in a situation now where if you were to go to Liechtenstein, a lovely little place, and go to the capital city of Vaduz, you would see across a vineyard at the foot of a nice alpine mountain, you'd see a bank that wouldn't look like a bank, looks a bit like a farmhouse. I've seen it myself, and it says Bank von Ernst on the side. You think, oh, that's rather nice. Then you do a bit of work and you find out, right, this is actually owned by the Royal Bank of Scotland. You know, how detached and offshore is that from, you know, the regular course of our lives?